This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. What day is it today, Dave?
It's Friday.
Dave loves Friday more than anybody
I
know.
And I hate Monday.
I like Monday.
Why?
Because nothing's gone wrong yet.
Oh, well,
right?
There's,
you get to start
that.
The week. You're just like, hey, it's Monday. It's an all fresh new day. We can do some great business this week. We're going to meet some new people this week. And nothing's gone sideways on Monday morning by 8 o'clock. Right? After that. After that, you know, the show, it could get
goes downhill after that.
Yeah. So welcome to Newsmakers, everyone. It's great to have you here in the Mid-Valley, where we are the only place to hear local talk about
That's right.
Mid-Valley. Who is moving what? Who's doing this and that? Which politicians are trying to destroy your life or make it better? All that great stuff. Hey, we've got some things in the news today we're going to talk about. We're going to finish our hour talking with the Volcanoes. I've got some questions for them about how they're going to alter my experience out there when I go to the ball game.
Altered experience.
Yeah. Yeah, for the better.
Interesting.
We've had a great week talking about things that are happening in the community, from the amphitheater and the YMCA rebuild and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got another guest in the studio coming up, Alex K. Spear from Capital Auto Group. And, of course, we speak to you from the Capital Auto Group Studios.
Yeah.
That's not why I invited him in.
It's totally unrelated.
He didn't bribe me with some money that went through the hands of USC.
Or a new car.
He is promising to get my kid and get into the best school. So.
Checks
actually,
in the mail.
I think I should have weaseled my way into a new Subaru that way somewhere.
See?
A great price.
Didn't take advantage of it.
He's going to give that to me anyway. He's going to have me my way on the parkway.
There you go.
All right. So we're going to talk to Alex K. Spear in just a couple of minutes. A couple things in the news I wanted to bring up, about this today. This one comes via my son, who's a Sprague graduate.
Yeah.
And saw a blurb in the news that they're going to start random breathalyzer tests at dances.
You just now heard about that?
My son sent it to me. I hadn't heard.
What?
Well, you've been talking
Where
about
have
it
you
without
been?
Me.
No.
Dave, I'm relying on you.
I saw that in the news a couple weeks ago.
This is one of those mixed things where, yeah, you want your kids to be safe.
Right.
You want some sense of responsibility on behalf of the hosts of the dance and so on and so forth. And
no, wait. This is to breathalyze them before they get in the dance?
Yeah, they won't let them in. And they like it's kind of like the random thing when you're standing in line at TSA and X number of people get pulled aside, right?
Right.
X number of people, I'm like, you, we're going to breathalyze you. So it's one thing if they're stumbling drunk and they're coming in, we want them to pull them aside.
Okay, that would
right?
make sense.
Okay. And it's another thing where... Okay, we're going to, is it an unreasonable search and seizure?
I think it is.
I agree.
Yeah, because like you said, they want to be PC and keep it random so that they don't seem like they're picking on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But you should, like you said, pick out the person who's stumbling up to the thing going, yeah, I'm going to have a great time tonight kind of thing.
You know, and these things all cycle back to an unwillingness of the public and things that are in the public mind to deal with things that are fallible. I've told the story on the show before. I had a packaged liquor license at one time.
Mm-hmm.
I was required by state regulations to discern somebody walking to the beer cooler and coming back to the counter whether or not they were impaired and whether or not I should sell it to them.
What?
And whether or not I should call 911 if they drove away with it. Right?
Oh.
So I'm required by law to make that determination that quickly. You may not even seen them walking. They just were up at the counter. Here, I'm going to buy this beer or what have you.
So
right?
if you smelled the beer on them.
Right.
And alcohol in their breath.
The flip side, as an employer one time, I disciplined an employee for being altered on the job.
Okay.
And I was told by the labor department that I didn't have the expertise to determine whether or not this person was altered, that's working an 8-hour shift, that just went out to the car and smoked a doobie and came back with, you know, just...
Smelling like it,
eyes bloodshot, just in another planet. But no, it wasn't fair of me. That was a judgment call on my... And I, you know, don't have that authority. So, you know, this is some common sense here. Somebody is stumbling and can't say their name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a school official better figure that out. But that next thing, to say that the school officials and the volunteers at the dance aren't going to
be... Who are mostly parents, by the way.
Human beings and be fallible and miss one. I don't know.
Well, then next they'll want to try and do random drug testing in school.
Sure, why not?
Before you can go into the dance.
Before you go into class.
Right.
All right. A couple other things we'll talk about a little bit later in the hour, because we're only going to talk to Alex here for a little bit. Property tax bills and where they are in Oregon. National rankings came out. I saw that this week. So many things I've been holding on to because we've had such some
You're
great,
holding back?
Great guests. No, there's great guests we've had and other things to talk about.
You're still holding back.
I want to come back later in the hour and talk about the overtime rules that will be proposed by the United States Labor Department.
That should be good.
Yeah. So hold on for that. So we'll be talking about volcanoes, overtime rules, some local regulations, and so forth. Maybe there'll be a Brent rant in there somewhere. Anyway, first of all, we got a couple minutes. We want to introduce you to Alex Casebeer. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you in the studio, in the Capital Auto Group studio. So, Alex, I served briefly with on the Chamber Board of Directors, and his father is a past, he's an awardee of a Salem First Citizen. And actually, there was somebody in his extended family, he probably doesn't even know this, that I coached and played baseball, actually, with my son.
Who was that?
The Casebeer family.
Chad.
I'm like, I can't out this person.
And he just did.
Chad, I got to tell you, Chad was one of the most enjoyable people to watch play sports. Uh-huh. He was a riot. People on the field were loose because of Chad. And he was just, when you're watching youth sports, sometimes you just watch somebody, you're like, this person's a pleasure to watch. And Chad was one of those.
Imagine him selling cars. He came and sold cars for us last year, and people loved him. It was hilarious.
I bet they did. That is awesome. At any rate, Capital, if you've been in Salem a while, they were located down on Mission Street. We're still looking for that to be redeveloped. But then they made a huge investment. And it's one of the things that, I appreciate here on Newsmakers, this huge investment up in the park, on the Salem Parkway. So you've got a Toyota dealership, a Cadillac dealership, and you've got Subaru out there, and you've got Chevrolet out there. And what am I missing?
That's what's on the parkway. I also have a collision center.
And a collision center.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. So extraordinary. I mean, it's not like business owners are pulling the money out of their pocket and laying it down and hoping it works. They're going a huge risk. Huge ticket item. They have to finance this thing, and it has to make it work, and it's a brand new location. I don't know. I just think that people that do that in the community need to be recognized that, they could do it just before a recession. It could be catastrophic, right?
It could go bad. It could.
But they do take a risk in our community, and I appreciate that. So, but you, tell us about your role at Capital.
Okay. I've been in the business about 10 years. Grew up in Salem. I was gone for about 10 years after high school. And I've worked pretty much every job. I sold cars and I was an assistant service writer, service advisor, worked at the parts department, worked a little bit in the office. Then I was a sales manager at the Toyota store for about 2.5 years when we moved to the Parkway.
Wow.
So I got to just be one of the guys and grinding away and trying to sell as many cars as we could to pay for the new store. And then I was a used car director for the whole auto group. So in charge of wholesaling and auctions and merchandising. And then now I'm currently the general manager of the Subaru store and the Chevrolet store. My brother Matthew is the general manager of our Toyota store, and he and I are now partners with our dad Scott in the business. So the three of us own the business, and Matthew and I are the active general managers.
What have you not done? You used car, you know, service.
That's an all-around guy right there.
Yeah,
and it's important.
It's important.
It's really hard for me to be able to help someone in their job, critique someone in their job, celebrate them in their job without having done their job.
Right.
So you can either see through the cracks or absolutely celebrate the good work they've done because you know how hard it is.
So the Toyota, you were the person that said, "Well, let me talk to my manager, see if I can make that."
That was the guy behind the glass.
Well, it's easy to respect a guy that has done all the jobs and is now the owner of the place. Yeah. And employees can look up to you and go, yeah, he's done it all and he knows what he's talking about.
That was a plan that we didn't set out to be the actual plan, but looking back, it worked great just because you have to build trust along the way. We did not want to be Scott's kids that came in and just own everything. And
oh, yeah.
We had to earn that right to listen to them, talk to them, give them advice where we can. And the other part of it is we had really good, experienced managers who teach us stuff every day, but also look to us for leadership. So it's a really good kind of marriage of young leaders, but also these really experienced managers that we can rely on for information and to teach us.
And also a culture of being in the community.
Absolutely.
A family culture, a company culture, being in the community.
That's part of our value statement, our mission statement.
All right, we're talking to Scott Cashbear, Capital Auto Group. There's something going
to
happen down there.
We're talking
there.
To Scott's
son. Sorry.
Alex.
Did I say Scott?
Yeah, you did.
I guess I'm still known
that's
as
what
Scott's
I get.
He looks like him.
That's what I get for writing down names while I'm trying to talk. All right. Anyway, you're listening to Newsmakers. We've got Alex Cashbear here. He's going to tell us what's going on at the Subaru dealership here shortly. So stick with us. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and it is Friday. We're talking to Alex Cashbear of Capital Auto Group. So let's get to it really quickly because we're going to have one more segment with him, and he's going to go back and sell some more cars and make some tough
decisions. No, he's going to manage the place. He doesn't sell cars anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I still sell cars every now and then.
Really?
General manager of Capital Subaru and Chevrolet now. But big things are happening with the Subaru, right?
Right. Huge.
So you're building something new. And yet another investment.
We moved in 2012, and we were selling about 30 new Subarus a month and maybe 10 used cars a month. It's a 18,000-square-foot facility. That was perfect for that time. Service and parts business was good, but it wasn't exploding. Well, now Subaru of America is exploding nationwide. They're one of the only brands that grew year over year last year. Industry was down. Subaru of America was up 8%.
Wow.
So they were about 12 or 13% over anybody else. Anyway, 7 years later, we're out of space. We're now selling 120 new Subarus a month and about 50 used cars a month. So going from 40 to 50 to 170 out of that building, we're outgrowing. And because we're selling that many, they're all coming back to service, which means we got to store parts. We're completely out of space. We can't hire any more techs. We have to rent off-site storage just for parts. So it's a problem. We were extremely fortunate to purchase land, 12 acres that just butts right up to our property. And it was an amazing deal that we couldn't pass. So we're going from 18,000 square feet to 70,000 square feet.
Holy cow.
Nice.
That's just the Subaru footprint.
That will just be Subaru.
Wow.
So it's going to be an unbelievable project.
So y'all have that whole section there, that whole street.
Yeah, it'll be 9 acres devoted to Subaru, and then we're also carving out 2 acres for, get this, a dog park, fenced-in dog park.
Nice.
An events pavilion and space for two food trucks to come every day.
That's sweet.
So, and we're going to do another walking trail around the whole property, so we'll have almost 2 miles of walking around the property.
All right, so we bring the dogs down there.
Absolutely.
Grab a little snack out of the food cart, get to see the entire inventory.
You don't even need to come get a car service or bike. Just come down and have lunch.
That's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
Not very far away either.
No, it's going to be an incredible building. We're putting in, I just got out of a design meeting, so I'm all pumped about it, but we're going to have a green wall on the inside and a green wall on the outside, like a live wall, which would be cool. Water features inside and outside, indoor-outdoor fireplaces. 2 pet areas on the inside. Subaru loves her pets, so bring your dogs down and they can hang out and get treats inside. And it's going to be absolutely phenomenal.
That's what makes Subaru a Subaru, right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Okay.
Not that I pay attention to advertising slogans. Okay, so how much help do you get when you have to make a major investment like this from the manufacturer?
Significant. Honestly, they're a great partner. Toyota and Subaru are just fantastic manufacturer partners. And they're definitely helping. So that's a huge, made the decision a little bit easier.
Sure. Yeah.
Of course, we had to stick to their, a lot of their building guidelines. But when we're meeting with them, the exterior will look very much like a lot of other dealerships in some regard. But we're going to do the green wall and the fireplace and stuff like that will be different. But the inside, they're very good to work with. And they said, hey, if you think that fits in Salem, Oregon, just do it. Just build it. So it's not going to look black and white, modern, like New York City. I mean, it's going to look and feel like Salem.
All right, like so Oregon, yeah.
When is all this going to transpire at Capital Auto Group?
Well, we're getting designs submitted probably within a month down to the city and also to Subaru of America for approval and permitting. And then we'll put a shovel in the ground, hopefully September, October, and we'll be in by November, December of 2020.
Well, it sounds incredible. So the Subaru facility and the buying experience will be catapulted. But what's going to happen to the existing footprint?
So, yeah, we've got a great six-year-old building, right? Got to do something with it. And it's probably the best piece of property because it's right there on the corner. A lot of traffic, a lot of visibility. So we are going to build or bring in, make that a used car superstore, and we'll probably brand it as such. So I think we'll probably sell 70 to 100 used cars just out of that facility alone.
Yeah.
And then all the other stores will still sell used cars. This will just be added inventory. And then on the back end, with where our service and parts are, we're going to centralize our reconditioning process, our detail process, build a really nice photo booth. So all the photos you see online will be in a controlled environment, controlled lighted environment, stuff like that. So we'll utilize it.
Wow. So that'll be a resource for the entire lot.
Yes.
Right? Everything that's coming in, it's going
to
have
Chevrolet this. Takes in a trade. They'll take it to that store. It will be one process, very streamlined.
Wow.
Nice.
All right. So of the things I know a thing or two about, cars are not one of them. At least car sales, your business is not one of them. So are you, what percentage of cars that's going to come out of your lot have been traded in the larger group, in the Capital Auto Group, versus, you know, going to market and buying them on an auction or things like that? What percentage of them actually came back to your lot to trade in for a new car?
We're probably, you know, on a good, I mean, of course we want to take in as many as we can so we don't have to go to the auction. But we're probably anywhere between 50 to 70% trade-ins, which is great.
Yeah.
Or street purchases. We love to just buy cars. We didn't have to buy a car from us. We'll still buy your car. And then the rest we got to backfill with auction purchases or different avenues, street purchasing, stuff like that.
Wow. I don't think Capital Auto Group wants the cars I tend up being done with because they're 20 years
I've
old.
I've seen your car. No. Just drive it to the junkyard.
That's incredible. Okay, so what's next for you? So, we're talking about the family and the shared ownership, and you and your brother, of course, Matthew,
and dad, right?
Yep.
And
whatever his name is, right?
Yeah, the other guy,
Dad,
Scott Casebeer guy. How much bigger can Capital Auto Group get? I mean, are you going to run out of room? Is that dog park eventually going to be the Tesla dealership?
Right. I heard they're scaling back actually on the showroom floors, but. You know, it'll be interesting to see the next several years because the product's going to change to a lot of it's going to be electric. So we're building in the Subaru store, we're going to have upwards of probably 20 different charging stations within sales, service, just the parking lot if people want to come charge their car. So that'll be a whole interesting market that we're, you know, not really in that much. I mean, each of our brands has an electric vehicle, but not Subaru yet, but they're getting there. So that'll be interesting to see where that goes. And then we're always looking to expand if there's an opportunity that's, you know, within an hour or two of here. If it makes sense for Matthew and I to look into that, we might do that. But right now the focus is right here in Salem. Let's build this store, make sure we're capturing, all the business we can here, and then maybe we'll look outside. But
there's really something to be said about the buying experience, you know.
And service, too. I've had my car in there.
Every industry. Yeah, service. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, service is a big deal for me.
But to go in and have a buying experience where you feel like these people are serious, these people take pride in what they do, and these people are given a fair shake, right? And we've all been to institutions, not necessarily cars, where you go in and it's like, man, this person doesn't invest in their business. They're not keeping up with the times.
Feel like you need to take a shower afterwards. Yeah. Been there, done that.
Well, we do have the lake. You could just wash off.
Wow.
There.
Can you still hit golf balls into the lake?
You can absolutely hit golf balls in the lake, although I have to be floating.
Okay.
Right.
Oh. Which we have.
Okay.
No, I took my car in. Full disclosure, I have a Chevy Camaro. And I took my car in there, and the service experience, outstanding. Been in there three times.
Nice. Thank
and,
you.
And they wait on you. They give you updates on where your car is. Oh, it's going to be only 10 more minutes. You might want to make your way out to the front. We'll drive right up to you. They hand you the keys and you're gone. I mean, it's just that easy.
None of you have to wait. We've got pancakes at each of the stores. What? We've got fresh fruit, Starbucks coffee,
fireplace, TV.
Got some special things in plan for the new Subaru store. But
I'll bet.
Yeah. We try to really make it comfortable because a lot of people don't like coming to the dealership for whatever reason. We just want to make them feel like, hey, this can be your living room.
And exactly.
Come get work done.
In the Chevy dealership, that waiting area is like the front room. It's really nice. Big couches, little places you can sit with other people and not feel like you're crowded.
Yeah.
You got the fireplace, you got the TV, you got snacks and drinks and Wi-Fi.
Why the dog park?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of our customers just in general bring their dogs to all of our stores. Subaru in particular is just a very dog friendly. I mean, look at their commercial. Their current commercials have dogs in almost every single one of them, which is just great. They figured out a little bit of a niche there. So we're just catering to it. We're playing to it. You're utilizing Subaru National on that, and we're going to build a dog park and make it really fun.
I'm not critical. I love it. Our family, we're dog nuts. So we're such nuts. When we look for a new place to live, we bought a piece of land that is adjacent to a dog park.
Nice.
Literally adjacent.
Have you seen the billboard that's on South Commercial that says your dogs will thank us? It's a real estate commercial.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So your dogs will thank you for buying a Subaru. How about that?
Exactly. How many acres now in that whole street area do you guys own now?
34, and 8 of it is the lake, which we do own.
Might have to fill in that lake a little bit.
Yeah, I know. That lake was a train wreck before we got there.
I heard that.
We put in four aerators, to get the water moving around. I took some catfish in on trade one time. True story. So I put three catfish in there. They're helping.
It's part of the trade in.
So, right? And now there's, yes, yeah, it was.
Nice.
This lady bought a truck. I had to get rid of her catfish. I said, you know what? I'll do the deal. Bring the catfish down here.
Nice.
So we put those in the lake. There's bass in there that help. So, I mean, now there's wildlife. There's turtles. There are two bald eagles that live somewhere around here that come almost every day. The Audubon Society actually put up a bird watching station down by the Subaru store and identified all the birds they've seen, so you can come and look at birds and all that. Wow. So it's an amazing lake.
This is where commerce becomes a community asset.
Yeah.
Right? And we've got a number of great families that are involved in the auto car business in this area with the Withnells,
yep,
the Donofrios, and the Robertsons, of course. And we've had Mike Robertson, the Chrysler dealership, here on the show to talk about a nonprofit initiative with the Union Gospel. And
yep,
so great families. It's great to do business inside the Valley. I mean, I'm a little embarrassed, but the first new car I ever bought, I drove to Portland and bought it.
Really?
Maybe Beaverton. I was young. I was broke and I didn't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit pre-shopping on the internet and everything else.
Sure.
But you know, fortunately I've learned a few things since then. I would never do it again.
Yeah.
I think I'm on record. I think I'm recorded here on Newsmakers. I don't even drive to Woodburn to shop. I want to do it in the Mid Valley.
Do it right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people think you can get a better experience or deal in a bigger city, and it's just not true. Especially in Salem. We've got so many good family run businesses. Not just a car business, but
you know,
restaurants and coffee shops. And, you know, everywhere you go is a family-owned business.
Well, Alex, we've got to say congratulations to Capital Auto Group. You guys are just outstanding.
You know what? We're having fun. So then that's the key. We're having a lot of fun.
Well, we are too here at Newsmakers. We're talking, by the way, with Alex K. Spearance, in case you just joined us, with the Capital Auto Group and Capital Subaru, general manager there, where they're going to invest even more and making your buying experience great. I want to thank you for being a part of the sponsorship for the show.
Actually. Yeah,
absolutely.
We like to think we're doing some good work here and talking about local stuff and being positive to Salem. So the Capital Auto Group's investment in radio, local radio, and broadcasting is appreciated as well.
Absolutely.
Maybe we can talk to you about remodeling.
Yeah.
Hey.
Get rid of this fuchsia. Yeah.
All right. Alex Gaspier, he's got to go off to another meeting, so we're going to let him go. We'll talk a little bit more. We're going to talk about some property taxes in Oregon and where we rank nationwide. And something happening that's going to change a lot of business owners' way of living with the overtime rules on the national scale. How's Casebeer? Thanks for coming in. It's
Thank
a pleasure.
Thank you for having
me. We'll see you when we come and have it our way on the parkway.
Absolutely.
Thanks again.
Thanks.
You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Friday, I can't talk anymore.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart and Alex Casebeer. What a delight he is.
Awesome guy.
It seems like the kind of guy you want to do business with, right?
Yeah.
I said I don't need a new car, but now I want to go down and buy one.
That's the salesman in him. That's awesome.
Good family, Casebeers. Good family.
Yeah.
So we got a few things to talk about before I finish up our week talking to the volcanoes and what's going to go on down there. I can't wait, actually, in the volcanoes to hear about the food offerings because they said they're bringing brand names, people that are already in the food business.
Yes, he said that a lot of them are in the works. So,
of course, I want to talk about the on-the-field thing, which they're not ready to talk about, but I'm going to talk about anyway, what happens on the field and where the players go and once they're done with the volcanoes and so forth. All right, a couple of news items here. Property tax bills is a list out. I always caution people with statistics because you can manipulate statistics. I'm always very quick to get the fine print or the language when you listen to commercials or news blurbs, and they'll say, you know, fastest growing. Fastest growing. You know what that means? That means they were tiny a year ago.
Right.
And so now that they've doubled and now they're tiny plus. You know,
yeah.
That doesn't
right.
mean they're the biggest. It doesn't mean, you know, so you got to watch, you know, the language and the statistics. However, all right. So they compiled what are the most expensive states and least expensive states for property tax in America. And Oregon came in 15th.
Wow.
15th most expensive. So, you know, yeah.
I thought it was affordable to live here.
Well, on property tax, you know, because there's just so much more weight on it because of no income tax. So actually, I'm surprised it wasn't higher. I was surprised it wasn't. You know, the highest ones were in the Northeast and how much people are paying. There was one comment to the article I noticed that people are saying that property tax is the size of what people should be paying in rent or mortgage. You know, and it's just like it's overweighed.
Right.
So, and here's, you know, there's so many variables in these statistics, so we'll take them for what they're worth, because you'll find tax studies that say Oregon's a fabulous place to do business, and you do tax studies that say this is a horribly taxed state for business, and you're not going to get any capital invested and so forth. I tend to believe that Oregon doesn't have a very good attitude towards business.
No.
So there's the taxes, the corporate tax rate, the capital gains rates, property taxes, all of those things, willingness to work with.
Right. I mean,
you go down to Texas, they're going to give you land to come and create jobs down there. And here,
they'll put the infrastructure in for you. I mean, come on.
Yeah, amen.
Here, it's like big. It just seems to me big business is like evil to Oregon.
Yeah.
Every time there's a big business thing and they try and pass a tax, it's like, big business is evil. They're not paying their fair share. Yeah. And that's not true.
So very true. And like if somebody is successful and doing well, it's because somebody else was disadvantaged then.
Right.
It's just completely the opposite. It's kind of bonkers because if they're doing well at Capital Auto Group, there's some salesmen there. They're making some pretty good bank.
Right.
Right. Salesmen are doing well. They're steady, reliable jobs. The people are working in the shop, right? And the service orders, all of those things. They're creating all these jobs that people are paying their rents with, they're feeding their kids with, and everyone's winning.
And everybody's paying their taxes.
And everyone's paying their taxes. So 15th highest in the nation, I thought it'd be a little higher.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it would be lower.
It's got to be states. You know, I was really surprised states that have income taxes who also have heavy property taxes. But, of course, we have different property taxes in Marion County than they have in Lane County than they have in Klamath County, right? So
that's true. Who is the bottom?
A little bit different. The top, you mean the most expensive?
No. I want to know the least expensive property taxes in the United States.
Now you're taxing my terrible memory. But it was in the Southeast.
Oh.
And I'm thinking it was like Arkansas.
Really?
Arkansas. It's in the Southeast. Mississippi, Louisiana.
Somewhere in there. A little slice of the...
Since I don't know that, we'll move off the subject.
Okay.
I thought it was interesting.
Who's the most expensive?
The top three were all in the Northeast. All in
like New York
area.
Yeah.
You know.
That makes sense, though.
All right, overtime. We're going to talk about overtime a little bit before we take our last break and talk about the volcanoes.
Okay.
All right, so this happened in the Obama administration, and why it's important to the Mid-Valley is this is going to affect a lot of employers.
Okay.
And it's going to affect a lot of people who are salaried, honestly, if this goes through. So And it varies by state in terms of the overtime rules. Some states, like California, say if you work more than 40 hours in a week, then you have to... No, I'm sorry. If you work more than 8 hours in a day, you must be paid overtime. Oregon's a little different. Oregon, you can work 10-hour days, but not more than 40 hours in a week without being paid overtime.
Even on salary?
Depends.
Okay.
It's just like everything else in government and regulation. Depends. But in general, if you're an hourly worker and you go about 40 hours in Oregon, you get paid to overtime, a minimum of a time and a half.
Right? I miss those days.
And then if you're in California, you work more than 8 hours a day, then you get time and a half.
Okay.
All these exceptions, as we know, so don't start screaming at us and writing hate mail. The collective bargaining is different and so forth.
Yeah.
Employment contracts are different. All right. Then there's a managerial supervisory distinction. And if you are a manager, if you are a supervisor, then you can be exempt from these overtime laws. Right?
That figures.
So the employer does not have to pay overtime wages if you go above 40 hours if you're a manager and you're on salary, you're not an hourly employee.
Right.
Okay. I get that. So somebody making, you know, say a principal of school and they're making pretty good money and they go over 40 hours, they're not going to pay them time and a half.
No.
Right? Or I don't know another example. Then there's a threshold. There's a salary threshold, which is as low as like $23,000, right? So let's say you're a manager at a fast food joint,
okay,
and you're making $25,000,
okay,
which, folks, that's the equivalent of full time at about $12 and $13 an hour,
right?
But they're a manager. Well, they can work 60 hours and not make overtime, right? Because they're a manager. And, you know, if you've worked in the food industry, if you've worked in the restaurant industry, a lot of people know waiters that make more money than the manager of the restaurant.
This is true.
And the manager of the restaurant, aren't they all strung out?
Yes.
And they really need a drink. I mean, yeah. It's a very tough job. It's a tough job. They're long hours. There are a lot of personnel. There's a lot of, you know, customer service. There's a lot of moving parts. That's a tough job to be a manager of a restaurant. And they're on salary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not unusual to find a situation where a server or a bartender actually ends up taking more money home than the manager of the restaurant.
Because they're better at their job.
It's a different way in which they're compensated.
Tips.
It's
too.
The tips, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So the proposed changes in the Obama administration were to bump that $23,000 to double it.
Double.
Almost 50,000, 47,000 and change. And all these are round numbers, but 47,000. So nobody would be exempt from overtime rules and overtime requirements unless they made 47,000 and above. Huge change. Huge change. There was a big outcry about it. You know, the 23,000 hadn't changed for a long time. And so now we're in the Trump administration, and that one crashed and burned because of the big, you know, backlash against it. It was too much change too quickly. And so we're still hanging in there at about 23,000. So there's a new proposal out of the Labor Department to bring it up to about 35,000. So that is more like a probably over $16 an hour.
Right.
Equivalent. So people will, if you're not paying them $36,000, you can't work in more than 40 hours. Okay. So service manager, Capital Auto Group, right? Restaurant manager, fast food manager, maybe a supervisor at an office that supervises a few people at the grocery store. There are a lot of people on salary that don't get any overtime, and this would require that they be paid overtime. Okay. So there's two sides of this.
So I mean, what? Even on salary, though, like myself, I don't clock in and out. So in order to keep track of that, you would have to clock in and out, right?
You would have to track your hours, yeah.
But I'm on call 24/7. Even on vacation, I was on call. So
we appreciate that. We want to stay on the air here.
I might have to look into that.
All right, we got to go. But that's huge news. We got to watch for that. It's a more reasonable proposal. But it is going to affect very much so people's compensation package, how the job is described, and whether or not they're going to be paid salary continually or go back to an hourly.
Mm.
Interesting stuff. All right, you're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
It's Friday. You know what that means?
Whoop, whoop.
That's right. It's volcanoes time.
And happy National Shoe the World Day, and also happy National How Are You Guys Doing Day. Did you know that?
No.
No, right. It's actually National Everything That You Think Is Wrong With the World Day. So this is the one day that we get to complain about things that we think is wrong in the world and be okay with it. Oh, tomorrow, we can't.
Dave and I could solve it if we just had more hours on.
All right.
Give us the rest of the day.
Two more hours, maybe. Yeah.
Spring is in the air, which means baseball is around the corner. I feel it today and yesterday.
So welcome back to Newsmakers. Yeah. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. And our guest, of course, is Mitch of the Volcanoes. And, you know, you may not be a baseball fan. You may or may not. I am. And I could make you one if you give me enough time. But you got to be a fan of our local ball club.
Oh, yeah.
And what a great experience it is out there, something to do in the summertime. And we're all excited about having them on KYKN and all the changes. So we've been talking to Mitch for a couple of weeks now. And we're going to continue to talk to him right up to opening day and beyond.
Opening day.
Opening
June 14th.
Thank you.
And you have some events before June 14th.
Oh, we have all kinds.
We have Corbin out there.
Yeah, we host all the Corbin home games. And so tomorrow they play a doubleheader, Sunday a doubleheader, and they have a couple more weekends after this. Plus all their practices. If they lose the night before, we got Coach Derek, the players out there at 6 o'clock the next morning doing wind sprints, working. It's a
College All-Stars. Is there an event like that?
College All-Stars. 2 weeks we have the spring high school tournament with 16 teams from all over the state. And then, of course, the first week in June, we have all the OSAA championships from 1A to 6A, and the place will be rocking. And then the 14th is when the Volcanoes come to town, and we start playing.
All right. So you're doing some facility upgrades, obviously. The stadium was brand new, built in Salem, and now it needs a little facelift.
1997. In fact, I was having lunch with Dennis Coho last week, and he told me the story about opening day. He was going to throw out the first pitch. And it got rained out.
Ooh.
He eventually got to throw out that first pitch, but the original opening night had to be postponed because of those wonderful tea storms that you get in June in the Willamette Valley. But yeah, 1997 when it opened up, 23 years, and that place has so much character. I walked around a little bit this morning just looking in some of the nooks and crannies, and we are doing some things. We have Green Acres out there this week and next week cleaning up, doing all the shrub trimming and getting rid of the leaves from the winter. And next week we have some painting going on. There's just all kinds of activity. And, I mean, 23 years old, it's like a Wrigley Field. It's like Yankee Stadium, Chavez Ravine. Has so much character. So people aren't coming because of it's a brand new stadium and all the bells and whistles that has. They're coming because, like we talked last week, it's because of the experience. We have them for 3 hours,
right?
And it's a vital thing that we have to make sure we entertain them every second of the way. The new sound system, the new concessions, which next week I believe on air we'll be able to announce the 4 to 5 restaurants that are local in Kaiser and Salem that we are actually giving physical spaces on the inside of the stadium. That's right, I said it. Inside of the stadium. To bring their brand, their systems, their equipment, their personnel, their smiles, and just help move those lines at lightning speed.
So, as a fan, I come in. Am I going to go? Oh, look, they've done some maintenance. They've done some upkeep. There's a facelift here. This looks sharp.
Yeah,
you expect to see that?
No, absolutely. I want when people come into the parking lot and then come through that tunnel into the stadium. I want them to really feel, and this is an emotional thing. I want them to feel like this is a new place. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, obviously, there's going to be some physical changes, but I want them to emotionally feel like this is a brand new stadium, new emotions, new enthusiasm, new hope and promise. And that has nothing to do with the team that the Giants put on the field. It has to do with all the different intangibles. It has to do with the mindset that exists in the local community. And I've been in the seats for years, sitting in there eating the hot dogs that you guys eat and watching the strikeouts that you guys watch. And there's always hope. Like right now, everyone's 0-0. Everyone has the equal chance of being champions. And I feel that hope springing up all over the community for the Volcanoes this season. People are literally and physically excited for what's in store this season. And I see it all the time. I was at the Chamber greeters in Salem this morning, and at least half a dozen people saying, man, we're hearing good things. And these are complete strangers coming up to me and saying, hey, we're hearing things at their works, in their homes, in their groups. And that's just exciting.
Yeah.
It's because they're hearing on the newsmakers.
That's right.
It is,
right.
Yeah.
So you're a great cheerleader. So how, of all the changes that you're making out there with the food, with the experience, with the speakers, how are you getting an idea? What kinds of things that are going to be important to the fan experience?
Well, obviously, the wealth of knowledge that Jerry and Lisa Walker have, having been in not just the 23 years here in this community, but all their years up in Washington, they're just a wealth of knowledge. And so picking their brains whenever I can, combined with my thinking, which is non-baseball, it's non-linear, it's a completely different thought process. And I think that's been a good thing, a good combination, the baseball with the business world that I bring. But besides that, one of the first things that Jerry and I talked about when I came on board was, let's create like a President's Advisory Council. And so we actually did that. We've had a couple meetings, and it's been phenomenally successful. We have Al Rasmus. We have Daniel Bethel, who's the executive director over at the Kaiser Chamber. Mayor Kathy Clark. Chuck Lee, who is Mr. Everything. We have Dave Akata. We have Michael Seaman, who his family owns all the local McDonald's. We have Dennis Coho. We have Nigel Geisinger, and we have Amy Ryan. So collectively, the power of the group think when we get together and I ask them specific questions about things, and they give me their honest, unfiltered input. And I think that's important that they tell me what their honest emotions are, because they've been in the same seats that we sit in as well. So as they get this feedback, we kind of condense it down. I discuss it with Jerry, and we figure out how we're going to implement and execute on those ideas.
You know, I should have started this with this. You have something to give away.
I do. I have two more tickets to opening day, June 14th.
393-1430. And, Hunter will pick out a winner. You give us a call right now.
Like the 30th call? Or how do you do this?
Get some seats.
Random. 30th call?
You know, random.
Random. Okay, so yeah. Hunter gets to choose this.
Yes. let him make a decision over there.
Yeah, it's just sort of things we delegate.
Yeah.
You
know,
and
so.
Now that it is spring, you can feel it in the air. Season tickets are on sale. 3-game packs, 5-game, 10-game, 20-game. They're all on sale now. You can call Vicki Swergen, our director of ticketing. She'd be happy to take your order on the phone. But we're ready to rock it, guys. We're having fun.
What's that phone number?
The number is 390-2225.
390-2225.
Yeah, they're going to call that number right now and say, okay, am I the winner? Do I get the tickets?
she's going to be really
confused. Oh, I hear the phone ringing.
Yeah,
Look at all those lines lit up.
Yeah, exactly.
How is he going to pick a random number out of those 8, 9, 10?
Well, yeah. you jumped on what was going to be my question. People can buy season tickets now.
They can.
So
absolutely.
If I buy a package of 5 games, mm-hmm. all right,
yeah.
Am I sitting in the same seat all 5 games?
Yeah, absolutely.
How does that work?
Yeah, you can pick that. Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's not everybody can make 35 games,
no,
right?
Uh-uh.
But you could buy a package and make sure that you go out a half dozen times during the summer.
And we try to have enough packages that kind of meet the needs of anybody, whether it's just you want to come to opening weekend, you want to come to just the Saturday Legends games with Steve Garvey and Vida Blue and Jose Canseco, or if you just want to come on Sundays, on senior days. There's all kinds of different things. So, they're all on sale right now. We can kind of customize a package just for you.
Thank you, Mitch. That's the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. We can't wait to be airing them. Thanks for joining us on Newsmakers.
Whoop, whoop.
See you on Monday.
This has been Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.